So as I said, those of you who have the ability to do so, I recommend getting a good screen here. The question that we're dealing with today is shaking hands. We start with a fellow who's wearing a yarmulke. This is, of course, if you're familiar, this, right? I can see you see it well, Carl. This is
Very
the
well.
Pope in a situ in a video. Please watch closely.
The problem with the Pope is he clearly died of this. This Pope is dead.
So there you have it. If those of you who did not see it, that was the Pope was shaking people's hands on a line, and he was notably skipping the adult women until one adult woman reached out to grab his hand, and he beat her. I think that would be a fair presentation of what happened there.
What does that mean, beat her?
He started slapping her to let go
Oh.
of him.
Uh-huh.
So that was that get together, and that's one approach one could do in terms of how to deal with shaking hands with the opposite gender. That would definitely be one thing that we could do. Another reason I very much wanted to do this one is because of the next video. The next video is a video of President Biden from this past week. And President Biden, as you know, is in Israel. Let's take a look
Right.
at the video here.
An Israeli singer, 28, refused to shake hands with Joe Biden on Thursday, July 14, after performing in a ceremony honoring the US president, with Israeli media reporting their decision was due to religious modesty. Biden attended a ceremony where he was awarded the Israeli Presidential Medal of Honor by Israeli President Isaac Herzog. After the singer finished singing Let It Be alongside Israeli singer Ran Denker, Biden and Herzog clapped and approached the singers to greet them, only to be faced with a refusal by Diane, who instead just nodded her head. Biden smiled and shook Denker's hand before leaving. US President Joe Biden is in Jerusalem for the first leg of his Middle East.
Okay, so there you have last week again, the issue came up. Joe Biden offered his hand to a woman who is a Balas Tshuva, it seems. And respectfully, the woman, instead of accepting his hand, nodded to him in appreciation. As expected, this all causes all sorts of issues. And with that, we now have the question comes up as to whether or not what is appropriate. I'll note that there's a fair amount of discussion of is it a bigger problem for her to shake his hand rather than to, let's say, oh, I don't know, sing before a man? It's a good question, but it's not necessarily related to what we're going to deal with. So that's the question. The question we're going to have to deal with today is the question that comes up all the time in the workplace, and that is if a male has a woman who offers him her his hand, or vice versa, a female in the workplace who's offered her the hand of a man, how to react, whether this is appropriate, or in fact you should in fact maybe not be the first one to offer, but not leave the person hanging. Now, of course, what is the issue? The issue here that we're dealing with is what we call negiah, whether or not a man and woman are allowed to touch if they are not married or closely related. The Rambam says, "Ain lo chadav b'chol Torah kula shu kasher rov ha'am lifrosh el min harayis va'abios asuros." The Rambam says that, in fact, we know that the sexual immorality is a major issue, and it's a major hurdle for many people. And therefore, based on that, you know, a person has to be particularly careful with it. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this and says, "Sarach adam lisrachik man noshim ma'od ma'od." There has to be a fair amount of space between men and women, because naturally, if men and women are together, that will lead to a certain closeness, which could very well be problematic. Now, of course, just to be clear, this isn't just a problem of men, that men, in fact, cannot touch a woman. But again, it goes both ways. Women cannot touch a man as well. The Chumash tells us, "Lo sikrivu l'kal l'galus erva." A person should not only shouldn't they have any issues with sexual morality, but they should not even come close to it, meaning that there should be a distance from it. So again, this idea of touching, that is not actual sexual immorality, but it's a violation of coming close. Later on, at a different time, we'll discuss yichud, being alone together. So again, lo sikrivu, the word lo sikrivu is plural, which indicates men and women alike both have to be careful with this. That is the opinion here of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, when we talk about the fact that there is a problem, one of the three cardinal sins is sexual immorality, that's limited. Let's be clear here. That's only if the woman is married, or the like. A single woman is, of course, not that type of problem. However, when it comes to this, it applies as well. It's not only married women, but it's even single women, the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, we know that actual sexual immorality is biblically prohibited. What about this what we call offense around it? Is this biblical, or is this only rabbinic? That's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, between Maimonides and Nachmanides. The Rambam says, and we have it here as the first opinion on the screen, "Kol haba al ha'erva min harayis derech evarim o shechibek v'nishav derotayva nene b'kiribasa reiza loke min ha'torah." If anybody comes close, meaning that it's not just a matter of actual intercourse, but if someone hugs or someone kisses, or in fact someone touches in a way that is meant for them to get enjoyment, that is a biblical prohibition. And in fact, it comes with lashes, according to the Rambam. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban, Nachmanides, says no. Only actual intercourse is a biblical violation. But anything else, right, for example, a hug or a kiss or something like that, anything that is meant to show affection, that is not biblical. It is only rabbinic. Now, how much does that make a difference? Let's be honest here. You know, we, for example, milk and meat cooked together, that is biblical. Chicken and milk that are cooked together, that is rabbinic. Does it practically make a difference? Not necessarily. We don't eat milk and meat together. We don't eat poultry and milk together. So to hear whether a person would get lashes for it or not, you know, theoretically it's an interesting discussion, but whether it would be in practice, whether or not you're allowed to shake someone's hand, it wouldn't really make a difference whether it is an Isser D'oraisa, meaning biblical, or if it would be an Isser D'Rabbanan. Now, that being said, the Rambam goes on and says, well, let's be serious here. When we talk about it being Aser, it's only what it's he called Derech Taiva V'nehene B'kir Basar, meaning that it has to be what we call Derech Chiba. Meaning that, for example, I take the subway sometimes. I'm not proud of it. I'm not excited about it. But sometimes you got to get from here to there. So you sit on the subway and someone sits next to you, right? That someone is sometimes male. The someone is sometimes female. Now, the person who sits next to you on a crowded train is inevitably going to be touching you. Am I enjoying that? I'd much rather have the seat to myself. So we'll have to talk. So again, when the Rambam says that it's asur d'oraisa, that it's biblically prohibited, it's only going to be biblically prohibited if there's some form of affection involved. The person...
Only if it's that carnal desire, which I assume is the basis for Moshe Feinstein's ruling that touching on a bus or a subway is...
Correct, we will get... That's correct, Jeff. We will get to Feinstein's opinion. But again, so the question here that according to the Rambam, all what I've seen so far here is that in order for it to be biblically prohibited, it has to be a form of affection. Now, according to the Rambam, one would agree, of course, that the case of the subway is not biblically prohibited. But I don't know that it's not rabbinically. I don't know. Maybe I'm not going to get lashes for it, but still might not be right. So again, we have here the opinion of the Rambam, who says it's biblical, but only in the case where it is affectionate, we will say. And the Ramban, who says that it is rabbinic, but he doesn't have that rule. Now, what does this Rambam mean? So the Shach, which is one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, is pretty clear that according to the Rambam, if it's derech chiba, if it is affectionate, well, then it is biblically prohibited. If it's not affectionate, he says it's actually permitted. Meaning that in the event that I'm sitting on the subway and a woman sits next to me, and I am not particularly happy about the situation, there's no reason for me to get up. As the Shach says in multiple cases, we have two of them here, one in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the other one in Hilchos Nida. Mashad Afaram will come el kshaose chibuk v'nisha derech chibas bia. Right? Right, he says that in fact it's not a problem. In fact, in Hilchos Nida, he talks about the following. So let's say someone is a physician and he has a female patient. So the female patient comes in and he has to do a basic workup. So he'll go and he will check the woman's pulse. So how do you check the pulse? The way you check the pulse is you put on your hand on her wrist. Is that a problem? So is it derech chiba? It's not derech chiba. It's not affectionate. That's just the way you check the pulse. So the Shach writes, Chein ha-minag poshet, sha-rofim Yisrael, b'mashmah ad-defak, sha-isha, afilu eisha, siso, avodas kochavim. Doctors, in fact, do this all the time, even if the woman is a married woman, even if she's a non-Jewish woman, right? Even though there are other doctors out there, we assume there's no problem whatsoever. Since this is not derech chiba, since this is not a form of, an affectionate act, therefore it's not a problem. So again, according to the Shach, the Rambam says if you're doing derech chiba, you'll actually get malchus, a very stringent opinion. However, if it's not derech chiba, then he thinks it's absolutely allowed. Interesting here, we now have online, there's something in the New York Times called the ethicist. And here's the question. The courteous and competent real estate agent I just hired to rent my house shocked and offended me when after we signed our contract, he refused to shake my hand, saying that as an Orthodox Jew, he did not touch women. As a feminist, I oppose sex discrimination of all sorts. However, I also support freedom of religious expression. How do I balance these conflicting values? Should I tear up our contract? This was a letter to the ethicist in the New York Times. Anyone want to guess what the ethicist answered before we show you the next slide?
I'm thinking the ethicist did not say tear up the contract. The ethicist said, you know, nod and go on.
The ethicist said as follows, this culture class may not allow you to reconcile the values you esteem. Those agents dealt you only a petty slight without ill intent. You're entitled to work with someone who will treat you with the dignity and respect he shows his male clients. This involved only his own person, for adherence to laws concerning diet or dress, for example. You should, of course, be tolerant, but his actions directly affect you. And sexism is sexism, even when noted by religious convictions. I believe you should tear up your contract.
Wow.
Not exactly what you expected.
Not at all.
Now, it's interesting that anybody would take that as such a slight. Very, very odd, and maybe you could say fascinating. That, of course, led to a response by Jonathan Rosenblum, who pointed out how ridiculous this response was. He said, there's nothing inherently offensive about the agent's refusal. Brown versus Board of Education, which the Supreme Court correctly ruled that in context of a longstanding history of Jim Crow laws, educational segregation conveys a black with unmistakable state-sponsored message of inferiority, could not be more inopposite. By contrast, the agent made no statement, either implicit or explicit, showing any disrespect for the letter writer in particular or women in general. Strictly observant Jewish women also do not touch men. So the priest does not confer untouchable status on one sex or another. Rather, it prescribes physical contact between sexes equally. One. Next, if any statement is being made under the refusal of Orthodox Jews to have physical contact with members of the opposite sex other than their spouses, children and parents, it is one of respect for their spouses and the sanctity of the marital bond. Every time an Orthodox man or woman distances him or herself from the most erotic forms of the physical, from non-erotic, sorry, forms of a physical contact, he or she is reminded of what is forbidden in the instances promoted elsewhere within the exclusive context of marriage. Interestingly, the ethicist dealt with the most serious ethical lapse of all, his own advice that the letter writer rip up a contract that she had already signed. Nowhere in that contract did the agent undertake to shake the woman's hand. Rather, he agreed to faithfully represent her in her rental of her apartment, and by her own account, he stood fully prepared to do so in a competent fashion. That thus advised her to renege on her own solemn promise in order to punish her for observing rules that he views as divinely mandated. This is confidently dismissed as merely sexist or offensive.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, by all means.
Thank you. So what is it that the doctor has this special right and the regular person? If I'm in the business and, you know, the client comes in and they want to shake hands, so you shake the hands. What where's this problem that you're making? I don't understand it.
So again, I'm not sure where your question lies from.
But my question is, you just said that the doctor, in terms, and it could be, by the way, a female doctor is taking care of a male patient.
Could happen.
Including the rabbi. Including the rabbi.
Crazier things have happened.
Yeah. So the point is, so if I'm in business, I'm an attorney, an accountant, and the client comes in and, you know, they say, Shalom Aleichem, you know, some places they give a bow. So when I make a little bow, I'm not bowing to the person, I'm just respecting them. It's just a matter of respect, nothing else, and that's what bothers me.
So again, but the issue is that there's a problem of men touching women. But that's a problem, isn't it?
But you just told me the doctor can touch the patient.
According to the Shach. Okay. The opinion of the Shach. Now again, but that's a little different. There's a difference, one could argue, between taking a pulse and shaking hands. Why do people shake hands?
It's a form of respectful greeting.
Right, it's a showing of closeness, right? A firm handshake means something.
Yes. It means, right? I acknowledge you. I see you. I acknowledge you. We're here at the same time in the same space. It
right?
Doesn't mean
I
anything romantic.
I look you deep in the eye, right? That's a statement. Unlike checking your pulse is not a friendly act.
I don't know. I think it's a much more friendlier act. I think if I went and then started touching her pulse.
The handshake started as a way of showing you were unarmed and were not about to stab the next person. That is how it became an expression of greeting.
Trust and greeting.
Right. So you take that into account. then you have to understand the origin of the custom before you do it. For instance, in other cultures where, for example, there are bows, like in Japan, it would be rude to shake hands on the of the dominance of Western culture.
So again, this is the question, right? We mentioned the opinion of the Shach. The Shach said that if it's not derech chiba, and again, we have to determine whether or not handshakes are derech chiba or not, but if it's not derech chiba, he said it's okay. Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees with the Shach. Rabbeinu Yonah is a Rishon. And Rabbeinu Yonah says that whether it's derech chiba or not, it is also d'oraisa. Right? So that's why he says that. He says, kol kirabasa aser, period. Kigon hanagia bidei eishas ish uparish gilagalski akriva maybe or the Arab. He says that you can't touch, period. So this is a matter of this of disagreement, right? That we had the Shach who says that if it's not considered derechiba, it's not a problem. Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees. Which opinion do we follow? So Jeff correctly pointed out that Rav Moshe Feinstein follows the opinion of the Shach. He says, it's not a problem at all, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Period. And in fact, the Nodi Yehuda agrees that yes, there is this opinion of the Rabbeinu Yonah, but we don't follow it. We follow the opinion of the Shach, and therefore, if it's not considered derech chiba, if it's not a way of showing a closeness, not an issue. Now, over the years, there have been many cases where this has come up. We have here, Jeff, maybe you're aware of this, in 1970, Rav Avadia Yosef was presented with Israel at the Pras Yisrael by then Prime Minister Golda Meir. She extended her hand, but Rav Avadia did not shake it, instead nodded his head. Rav Avadia, right, even though this was the Prime Minister of Israel, and this was something very public, right, he instead decided that he would nod her head and acknowledge her.
May I point out there's a big difference in the question, and I see you brought up on the Rav Mordechai Eliyahu once met with Benjamin, because Rav Avadia could expect that Golda Meir should at least know that he would not take her hand.
Right, but again, if it's not a problem, why shouldn't he? So clearly, Rav Avadia thought this was either a problem or a statement to be made.
Right.
Right. Similarly, right, and as you correctly point out, the next case, another Rishon LeZion, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu once messed with the Queen of England, and she put out her hand. There were cameras for all around the world, but he stood like a soldier and did not shake it. That evening, Rav Eliyahu received a letter from a person responsible for royal protocol apologizing for the incident. He checked the books of protocol of the British kingship and found that the Queen of England was not to put out her hand to a Jewish rabbi. Give them credit. They apologized. They realized that was a mistake, their mistake. And they bet mechila from Rav Avadia.
I'm sure he gave it quite freely.
Yes, yes, yes. That's not an issue. Now, let's...
Although the moment, the camera moment, feels kind of ugly. She's hanging there.
Okay, but again, it was her fault.
No, I get that, but
now, so let's go on to some. Once we're on Queen Elizabeth, this wasn't the last issue she had. Here's a more recent one, and I have a video for you.
מפגש יוצא דופן בין המלכה ההם בבריטניה לשליח חב"ד, הרב אריה סופרין, שמצטרף אלינו מלונדון כדי לספר על האירוע המיוחד הזה. שלום לך, הרב סופרין.
Hello.
You've received a special honor from Queen Elizabeth, Her Majesty. What is it about exactly? Why?
It's a very special honor. I was honored in the Queen's birthday list for an MBE. An MBE is a member of the British Empire. And it's a very special award which I was given for the work that I do within Chabad and beyond. Our Chabad house is based in northeast London. That's the outskirts of London. And I run from there a very interesting project called Drugs Line, which deals with people in crisis related to chemical substance abuse, drugs and alcohol, crisis intervention, prevention through education, and the like. So this was an award that was given to me in honor of the work that I was doing within these two areas of work.
And you worked there with the Muslim and Christians and Jewish teenagers. What did she say to you, the queen, and how did she know not to shake your hand in the ceremony?
When we were being prepared to go before the queen, because they tell you exactly how to stand, how to turn, how to bow, what to, you know, exactly by position, foot by foot almost. They said, you know, she's going to speak to you privately. How do you know when your conversation is concluded? She'll put out her hand and she'll shake your hand. When she shakes your hand, you step back, you nod, and that's the end of the conversation. So here, I was really sweating on the day because I didn't know what was going to be. Beforehand, they also told me, well, don't worry because she wears gloves. On this day, she wasn't wearing gloves either. So I was quite concerned about it. But she, as I said before, 80 or 85 people went before me. I was nearly the end. And I was watching every single person. She puts her hand out, shakes the hand, and then that's when they went backwards. That's when they left. So I'm standing here in front of her. I'm wondering what's going to happen. But we had the conversation. She bowed her head. She stood back and I stood back. So she obviously had been briefed and remembered that not to shake hands with this particular recipient, not with this person. And again, that was another reason that I was totally bowled over, that she was able to remember from all those people which ones to have the conversation and which ones not to shake hands with. I was the only person that day.
Okay, Shliach Rabbi Milubavitch to the Buckingham Palace. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so there you have it. The queen learned her lesson, and it seems that the next time she came up with this, she knew not to shake hands. So this is bavust among queen, with Queen Elizabeth, that in fact she is makbid on this. She's makbid for the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah. She's not going to just rely on the things. Now, of course, I like to quote here when it comes to.
Wait, before you move on, yes. If she had been wearing gloves, would that have sort of negated the problem?
Arguably, yes. Arguably, yes.
Okay.
Right. Now, this idea, we spoke about the idea of what does shaking hands mean, right? Is that something of closeness or not? I like to turn to our good friend Satchmo. Louis Armstrong, who has an opinion on this, who says as follows. There you have it. It's befarish in the opinion of Louis Armstrong that... That shaking hands is a sign of saying "I love you." I don't believe that there's any bigger raya than it's derech chiba, which is.
But if he would have done that in Yiddish, then he would have been talking to the Jewish people. He was, and by the way, he spoke Yiddish. The fact that he didn't, I think he's talking about the goyim. He's not talking about.
I agree.
It's hard to argue with a raya like that. Can't call.
It's an interesting example that you bring. I don't think that it's really about romance and desire and all that.
We can try to understand, see what the Achronim say on Louis Armstrong.
Right.
Obviously, there's, I'm sure, commentary and super commentaries that we can look into in this case.
Okay.
Right? But
I think Louis was an Achron.
Yes, so again... Maybe the Russian yeshiva come afterwards. Maybe they talk about it.
Thanks, Carl.
But again, obviously I say this somewhat in jest by quoting Louis, but it's interesting that there is a certain closeness that is offered in a handshake. That's the idea behind it. We'll discuss later on, but you know, not all handshakes are alike.
I think in a business context, though, it's generally very perfunctory.
So, yes and no. Yeah, that's a question. the what, how do we follow? What opinions are do we generally go with? So there are people out there that in fact hold that this is actually shaking hands would be biblically prohibited. That is an opinion out there. That is the opinion of Binyamin Zilber, quoting the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, touching is an Isser de'oraisa, whether it is derech chiba or not, and therefore it absolutely positively has to be avoided. That is one opinion out there. Now, other things to consider beyond that is, you know, Moshe Feinstein, on the one hand, as we said, hold that there's no isser whatsoever, that if it's not derech chiba, it would be mutter totally. Ramosha himself is not convinced that your typical handshake is not derech chiba. Again, it's not hugging, it's not kissing, whatever, but where do you put it? You know, it's also not a passing glance. You're reaching your hand out to show friendliness, which is more than sitting next to the person on the subway, but less than a hug and a kiss. So if you look here, it says that your Moshe says in number 3, "B'dol Hoshit Yadli Isha Kader Chanosim Shalom Afkishim." By Parsha Shaaser, he thinks that that's problematic. So even Moshe, who again is generally, when it comes to the subway, as Jeff correctly pointed out, is lenient, he is not lenient when it comes to shaking hands. He said, "Avo Kasafti." He said, yes, I'm aware about the fact that there are wonderfully religious people who do shake hands with women. He said, but you know, I myself, Ramosha says, I find it very hard to rely on this. So that is the question. Whether you say it like that. You know, there are other people out there, right, who say that not all handshakes are the same. You know, there is the idea that, you know, some handshakes do show more closeness, and if you're going to start shaking hands, not all will be alike. So there are people out there that are machmir. Now, let's take a look at Rivka Ravitz. Rivka Ravitz, not anymore, but from 2014 until around a year ago, was the chief of staff for President Rivlin. President Rivlin is not there anymore. She has received extensive media coverage for being a Haredi mother of 11 in a high-profile political position. A lot of people are impressed by that. I myself, if I had 11 kids at home, I would work very hard to get a job outside of the house myself. But that's what she's doing. Now, we give her here. Let's take a look at what happened when Prince William came to Israel. Let's watch closely from Arutz 7. All right, in case you didn't catch it, let's do that again. Handshake.
Yeah, I didn't catch it.
Right? Next, he goes over, right? Prince William puts his hand out to her. She nods her head. He withdraws his hand. Next person, a military fellow, salutes and then shakes the hand. Right? Here she is. She's in a political position. And, you know, sorry, no can do. Life goes on. So, that's the story. Now, let's follow up on that with the question of, okay, maybe in general, it's not the best idea ever to shake hands. But there's another side to the coin also, and that is, maybe I should not offer my hand to a woman, but if a woman offers me her hand, perhaps it would be embarrassing for me not to accept it, right? And what we would call to leave her hanging. So the question is that a consideration? That yes, in general, you know, I won't shake a hand, but if there's a woman who just doesn't, who's not familiar, this happens oftentimes, right? It's funny, in YU, I think last year they made a series of videos to be played for new employees at YU, particularly for non-Jewish or at least non-religious ones, to make them familiar with
custom,
shall we say. You know, that, you know, just you can't really give the guys classwork and expect them to do it on Saturdays. You know, they don't bring in food because of kashrus. You know, when they all like a bunch of vagabonds after Pesach, it's called Svira. You know, just things like that.
Okay.
Actually, interestingly, they had signed me up to do one or two videos. And unfortunately, I was not able to do it because that ended up being the day I went to Denver for Mrs. Hech's Levaya.
He actually
had to replace me on that for that day. So so in it, you know, there's an explanation that, you know, oftentimes people and the students will not feel comfortable shaking your hand. You know, this isn't personal. You know, just don't put yourself in an uncomfortable position. Don't offer your hand because that'll make it uncomfortable for everybody. Well, what if a person doesn't know and they offer it? Then what? So we have Menashe Klein writes that that's no reason to be makel. If you tell me that this is potentially an Isser D'Oraisa, a serious violation, so I'm sorry, but, you know, you try to explain to the person that's wrong, and, you know, nothing personal, but that's that. That is one approach. Why is that? What's the reason that he's so insistent? He has a series of reasons. One is he says, who says the Shach is right? A. And also who says that, you know, maybe when the Shach says it's okay, that's only the case of a doctor who's doing his job. But if a person's not doing their job, if that's not why they're doing it, but, you know, this is something where this is a social connection. Let's be honest here, you know. When I go on an interview, right, I'm talking to students usually here. I want to make a good impression. I want it to be a firm handshake. I want it to develop closeness between me and the person. I want them to like me. Yeah, you know, that the purpose here is that you like me. You know, I'm not planning on marrying you. But, you know, that would be the idea of that. So that is the opinion. Now, the truth of the matter is that if one put enough opinions here together, and arguably the Chazon Ish does, this could really be one of the cardinal sins. Mean that if you tell me that this is a biblical violation of a subcategory of sexual immorality, which is one of the three cardinal sins, one could make an argument. Again, I would say this is a minority opinion, but it is an opinion nonetheless, that one would have to give up their lives rather than shake her hand here. As I said, it's a minority, but it's an opinion, right? On the other hand, there are people that would say not that way and will allow it, particularly in the case of where someone could potentially be embarrassed. One such person was Rav Chaim Berlin. Rav Chaim Berlin, who got a nice yeshiva named after himself, who was the son of the Nitziv, right? He, it deals with this question, whether if a woman, for example, a Jewish woman offers her hand to a person, whether or not he can take it. So he writes, Vadim yochel izar bezer matov. To the extent that you could avoid the situation, it would be best. But it's too late. He said, listen, if she offers her hand and you're just doing this not to embarrass her, right? Then he thinks it's okay. You don't want to cause a chilul Hashem. You don't want to embarrass the person, you know? And everybody knows if a woman puts out her hand, there's no easy way out of it, right? If you just walk away, you embarrass her. If you start explaining to her, I'm sorry, but according to my religion, I can't do this, she's embarrassed that she didn't know that. So the issue is that you don't want to do something to embarrass her. So therefore, if she puts out her hand, take it. Similarly, Rav Shlomo Kalbach, who is not the Shlomo Kalbach who you think it is. This is the Shlomo Kalbach who lived from 1845 to 1919. So he writes, Hoshatas Yadla Isha Eino Osir Ela Mishum Hirov Rak Viskavi Nogel Hanos Isser. So this is limited while it's Osir. And he said, Ruben lo rovo lo shomishishim noa mizev no sans yad lafitumon ve'en lo locha biyosh godol yosef mizev l'sarev l'hakos kaf al kaf. Again, he said that the embarrassing that you bring to a woman by not agreeing to shake her hand, by just walking away from it, that is really a bad thing. So therefore, based on that, you know, there are opinions out there who say, listen, you should not offer the hand first, but if offered, you can accept it based on the combination of it's not derech chiba. You're not doing it because you're interested in anything. It's just a matter of she offered her hand. Since she offered her hand, you know, you don't want to embarrass her. So you take her hand, you shake her hand, and that's it. So that's the question. So the bottom line is there are different options out there which should be considered. Now, as I mentioned, I teach a course on this, and you know, we use the videos, this is just part of what we do, right? We also have videos of people in the workforce who give over their ideas of their experiences, etc. But I point out afterwards that this is one of the cases where the world has changed, and that's because this shaila comes with a great blessing, and that blessing is called COVID. In an article of February of this year, the Fortune magazine comes forward with something called "It's Not Just You, the World is Beginning to Rethink the Handshake." This go-to gesture of peace and accord, used to cinch deals, bless the start of high-level meetings, and congratulate victors, has been a mainstay of the Western world for over 2,000 years. It survived the share of plagues, pandemics, and double crosses over the years. But since the start of COVID pandemic, social scientists, public health officials, and commons United States and Europe alike have been openly asking the question, is it time to do away with the old fist pump? What? Jeff, want to read the next line?
Koyin demain,
which means?
The offering of one's hand. That's basically what it is.
Last summer, French journalist David Abiker declared the handshake is dead. In April 2020, Dr. Anthony Fauci, a top pandemic advisor to the Trump and Biden administrations, went even further, likening the handshake to a silent killer. I don't think we should ever shake hands ever again, to be honest with you, he told an interview with the Wall Street Journal podcast. Not only would it be a good to prevent coronavirus disease, it probably would decrease instances of influenza dramatically in the country. All of a sudden, there's a very, very good reason not to shake hands that, in fact, has nothing to do with religion. In fact, the article goes on to show how things have changed with pre-COVID to COVID. Looking at the amount of people who shake hands in different countries, so we'll just focus on the United States. Pre-COVID, over half the people in the United States shook hands. Now, we are down to under 20%. Meaning that according to Fortune magazine, 4 out of 5 Americans at this point do not shake hands anymore. And across the board, it's the same, right? Same in UK, same in Australia, right? In France, it's even steeper. In France, it's gone for over half to, it looks like around 1 in 10 will shake hands. And in Italy, even less than 1 in 10 now shake hands, even though even far more than 50% did beforehand. So therefore, you're in a situation where it's very easy for a person to beg off of handshakes. All you have to do is turn around and say, sorry, no COVID.
So that's just, I'm surprised, though, that given the Me Too movement and so on, that there people aren't refusing to shake hands on the grounds of avoiding claims of sexual harassment.
Right. That's a fair argument. Again, we will discuss that still later on when we discuss the Pence rules.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is very interesting. And I tell my students that, you know, this makes things a lot easier. Now, of course, I warned them of one thing. And the one thing I warned them about is that if you're going to take this approach, you can't shake men's hands and not women's hands.
Wait, say that. The handshake what?
But again, many people, it would seem, according to Fortune magazine, right? This is the what we have in front of you. 4 out of 5 people at this point do not shake hands because of COVID concerns. That's as of January of this year. Now, that being said, a person could easily, you know, just decline from shaking hands and everything would be okay. However, I point out that if you're going to use this approach, yeah, you can't say, well, you know, because of COVID, I don't shake women's hands. So based on that, I tell people the following conclusion. As to quote the penguins from Madagascar, just smile and wave, boys, smile and wave. And the fact that that there are opinions that say it's problematic. If a person finds themselves in a difficult situation, there are opinions that will definitely allow you to shake hands. However, you know, if a person can avoid the issue without it hurting your business possibilities or in fact insulting anybody, that's probably best. So that being said, I would recommend that to the extent possible, wave, say hi, how are you doing? Nothing personal, but I just don't shake hands. And that is acceptable, my understanding is, in the workplace now. If a woman puts her hand out first, again, there are opinions both ways, but if you could just avoid this whole handshaking thing now in the post-COVID world, that is best. All right, and I think we have time for people to make it over to Mincha, so I will not be in trouble. All right. So I will, God willing.